And welcome back. Funeral services today for former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher marked the final chapter in her remarkable life. Since her death, most of the attention has been on how tough she was, her conservative policies, the Iron Lady who ran Britain's government for more than a decade and helped engineer the end of the Soviet Union. 6 years after leaving office, Mrs. Thatcher came to Missouri, a 1996 visit to Westminster College in Fulton. It was at Westminster that Winston Churchill had coined the term Iron Curtain almost a half a century earlier. Mrs. Thatcher also brought some strong words, words that resonate even today as we confront the bellicose language and a potential nuclear threat from North Korea.
The Soviet collapse has also aggravated the single most awesome threat of modern times, the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. These weapons and the ability to develop and deliver them are today acquired by middle-income countries with modest populations such as Iraq, Iran, Libya, and Syria, acquired sometimes from other powers like China and North Korea, but most ominously from former Soviet arsenals or unemployed scientists or from organized criminal rings, all by way of a growing international black market. According to Stephen Hadley, formerly President Bush's Assistant Secretary for International Security Policy, and I quote, "By the end of the decade, we could see over 20 countries with ballistic missiles, 9 with nuclear weapons, 10 with biological weapons, and up to 30 with chemical weapons." According to other official United States sources, all of Northeast Asia, Southeast Asia, much of the Pacific, and most of Russia could soon be threatened by the latest North Korean missiles. Once they are available in the Middle East and North Africa, all the capitals of Europe will be within target range. And on present trends, a direct threat to American shores is likely to mature, if that is the right word, early in the next century. Add weapons of mass destruction to rogue states, and you have a highly toxic compound. As the CIA has pointed out, of the nations that have or are acquiring weapons of mass destruction, many are led by megalomaniacs and strong men of proven inhumanity, or by weak, unstable, or illegitimate governments. In some instances, the potential capabilities at the command of these unpredictable figures is either equal to or even more destructive than the Soviet threat to the West in the 1960s. It is that serious. Indeed, it is even more serious than that. We in the West may have to deal with a number of possible adversaries, each with different characteristics. In some cases, their mentalities differ from ours even more than did those of our old Cold War enemy. So the potential for misunderstanding is great, and we must therefore be very clear in our own minds about our strategic intentions, and just as clear in signaling these to potential aggressors.
The late Margaret Thatcher speaking at Westminster College in Fulton in 1996, that audio courtesy of C-SPAN. I'm sure you heard in some of her remarks statements that could very well have been made this morning. Mrs. Thatcher's public persona painted one picture of her. We looked for another from those who were with her at Westminster College. Sean Poor is director of development at the University of Missouri. He played a special role during her visit.
I was the student tour guide for her tour of the Winston Churchill Memorial and Library and the Church of St. Mary the Virgin Aldermanbury. The college actually chose me to be that guide as I was a student tour guide at the memorial at the time.
What is your recollection of Mrs. Thatcher? You know, we've been hearing so much from all the pundits from all over the world about this formidable woman. I'm interested in getting kind of a more personal look at her. What's your recollection?
I definitely did have a more personal look at her. She was a very conscientious person. I'll say that right off the bat. When her and her husband arrived at the memorial, they were very gracious people. They came in, signed the guest book. We began touring her around the museum. She began talking briefly about some of the displays on Churchill's life. You could tell she was very well read on his historical background. We also approached the Iron Curtain area of the museum, and she recollected on her friendships with President Reagan and also the unity of the two countries. And she did mention while we were touring about the Gorbachev era and the impact it had on the world. You could just tell that it brought back a lot of memories and it brought back a lot of feelings. And she was very, like I said, throughout the tour, very conscientious. When we went up to the church, you could tell she was almost awestruck. You could see it in her face as she walked in because she saw something that was very familiar to her, this 12th century London church that had been restored on campus and the beautiful organ music that was playing. It really kind of brought back that English connection to Westminster. I will have to say, when we were leaving the church, she turned to me. It was chilly outside. Of course, it was March, and I was without a jacket, and I was walking her out to the car along with her guards and a few staff from the memorial. And she actually turned to me, looked at me, and said, "Aren't you cold?" She said, "You should have a jacket." That kind of made a lasting impression on me, that this lady that is known as this very dynamic Iron Lady image actually was a very caring person. I think that diplomatic side of her is what helped her become what she was as a leader as well.
You found some warmth there, no pun intended, with regard to the chilly weather.
A lot of warmth, actually. And her husband was very gracious as well, but she did most of the talking during the tour.
Were you at all intimidated by her?
You know, it's the image that you read about in history. And as she came into the memorial that night, I remember them walking down the steps into the undercroft where the museum was located. And you just had this feeling, this kind of awestruck, that my goodness, there is the leader of Great Britain, the first female prime minister, and all this was running through your head. And then, of course, the whole Iron Lady image that you get, you just expect her to be a little more forceful. But like I said, meeting her, she was so gracious and really a friendly, outgoing person, and really took up the conversation as the tour started.
But did you have any meaningful conversation with her?
Other than just the recollections that she had of certain displays and her remembrance of her friendship with Reagan, which at that time in 1996, he wasn't as much in the public spotlight. You could tell that it affected her with his deteriorating health at that time, that it emotionally bothered her. But as far as having a one-on-one discussion of a certain era in her time as prime minister, we didn't have that.
How well did Meryl Streep do in portraying her?
I thought it was a good movie. I really did. I think, you know, she took some of the harsher side of her and put it out there. But I think, you know, as far as her as a person, I think she did a pretty good job of portraying her. I know there was a lot of controversy with that.
And when you heard that she had passed, what were your thoughts upon hearing that?
A lot of memories. You know, even though it was a very short time that I was able to spend with her, it was a very short time of history that I feel like I've been able to touch in her life. And it did affect me. I mean, you look at the era in which she was prime minister, and you look at the leaders of that time, and you look at how the world has changed since then, and what was recognized at the time that needed to be done that is now showing itself now 17 years later. It really makes you appreciate your time that you had with her, that it was very much a historic time that I'm very grateful that Westminster allowed me to be a part of.
Well, Sean Poor, thank you so much for spending some time with us. It was most interesting to hear your recollections of Margaret Thatcher.
Sure. Glad to do it.
Sean Poor was the student escort for Margaret Thatcher during her 1996 visit to Westminster College in Fulton. Lieutenant Lila Robbins of the Fulton Police Department helped provide security for Mrs. Thatcher during the visit and was assigned to the house where Mrs. Thatcher stayed during her time in Fulton. She joins us now by phone to give us her recollection of the Prime Minister. Lieutenant, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh. It's my pleasure to be here.
Give us some sense of what you recall of that short time, relatively short time, you spent around Mrs. Thatcher.
At the current time, I was assigned as chief investigator for the Fulton Police Department, and my chief put me in the house where she was going to be staying. I was very excited, and I'll never forget the feeling I got when she entered that house. She had such a presence about her, and there was no doubt that you were in the presence of someone very powerful. That was the image that she portrayed, and you could actually feel it. It was almost something you could touch.
What kind of a setting was it? What kind of a house? What was that like?
It was called Loganberry Inn. It's a bed and breakfast, so it was very homey. It was a very comfortable family home that was turned into a bed and breakfast. So they had the sitting room with a fireplace going, and it was chilly. It was a very chilly day, so they had the fire in the fireplace, and at some points I was even stoking the fire so that when they got back from doing the speech, her fire would be warm and the room would be warm for her. It was a very comfortable setting.
Did you have any opportunity to have any conversation?
I was not able to have conversation with her. I did get an autographed program from her, which absolutely thrilled me. It's hanging in my office to this day. But it was just a quick signing and a smile, just absolutely thrilling.
You know, I can't imagine there were too many female officers in the Fulton Police Department back in 1996. Maybe I'm wrong. But this was a woman who was the first female prime minister of Britain. I would imagine that made a connection with you somehow.
Absolutely. It was absolutely a connection because at the time I was 40 years old when I met her. So I wasn't a new rookie police officer. I'd been in law enforcement for a while in the military. So I'd had some experience. I'd actually been to England. And so I had experienced her country in the early 80s. So it was very thrilling for me, and I'll never forget it as long as I live.
You know, I asked Sean Poor if he were at all intimidated by this woman. Were you?
Absolutely not. I was so thrilled, and she was so gracious. It was just a classy place to be.
Your image of her really conflicts somewhat with what we've been hearing from all over the world about this very formidable woman, the Iron Lady, tough as nails, willing to go to war and all that sort of thing. Your picture of her is a little bit different, I gather.
I believe it is because my life experience is a little bit different because as a female law enforcement officer in times when there weren't that many, I completely understand why she had to present that image.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Lieutenant. By the way, just a few seconds left. Are you on any heightened alert down there in Fulton because of the power plant and because of what happened in Boston?
Not at this time. Obviously, we're always aware of anything that might be different or changing situations. So we're trying to keep track of what's going on in the country because we do have those here. But I think as a country, I think we have to be more aware. And obviously, you know, we're very saddened by what happened in Boston, and there's a lot of us that wish we could step up and go and help, but we've got to take care of our home front here.
Yes, we do indeed. Lieutenant Lila Robbins, thank you so much for being with us and sharing some of your thoughts with regard to the late Margaret Thatcher. We certainly appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh. I appreciate you having me.
Our pleasure. Thanks. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the Pew Research Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism, State of the News Media 2013 report. Should be interesting. We've referenced it many times on this program. We'll get more detail tomorrow. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.